The mission of Code M is to save the black family. But before we can save the black family, we have to save the black man. So Code M was born out of a need to tell our own story, to control the narrative. You know, we like to showcase and highlight black men, people of color, brown men doing incredible things. And so we're a platform where, you know, you can come, you will be treated fairly. We will tell your story in a safe and secure way.
We'll discuss race and how it plays a factor, and how we didn't even talk about this topic because we were afraid.
A Black Executive Perspective.
Welcome to a Black Executive Perspective podcast, a safe space where we discuss all matters related to race, especially race in corporate America. I'm your host, Tony Tidbit. Today, we're joined by Bilal Akram and Brad Bowling, the dynamic forces at the helm of Code M magazine. Our conversation will delve into the rich tapestry of the black family, examining both the challenges these families encounter in society and how Code M magazine is playing a crucial role in crafting a narrative that's both empowering and inclusive. In addition, Bilal and Brad would also offer their perspectives on why representation in media matters, the powerful role of storytelling in building community strength, and the ways in which Code M magazine serves as a critical platform for voices that are often sidelined. Bilal Akram, Brad Bowling, welcome to a Black Executive Perspective podcast, my brothers.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Tony. Thank
Buddy,
you.
I'm excited that you guys are here. You guys are doing some really positive things in the community. It's going nationwide, so that's why we're here to talk about it. So before we dive in deeper, let's get a little bit of background on both of you. So Bilal, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, thanks, Tony. And first of all, it's a pleasure to be on this spectacular podcast that you all are presenting. I'm a native Clevelander, although I deemed myself as a global citizen, having traveled to many countries around the world. A career firefighter for the city of Cleveland, proudly serving the city residents for about 33 years. My education consists of a bachelor's in religious studies, master's in psychology from Cleveland State University. I am a father, a grandfather, a mentor, a friend to many, and just humbled and blessed to be here and enjoy it every day, Tony.
That is awesome. I mean, bro, you just went through. I'm a father, I'm a grandfather. You could just keep going. All right. But no, my brother,
I forgot to leave out a husband as well, okay?
There you go. Because, buddy, that's the last person you want to leave out, the wife, okay?
When I said father, that was inclusive in my mind, the husband piece, you know?
Okay, you can clean it up for her later on. All right, it's all good.
You got it.
Brad, my brother, tell us a little bit about your background, my friend.
Good morning, and I concur with Bilal. Thank you for having us. My name is Brad Bowling. I'm president of Code M Media Group. I have my undergrad in journalism, master's in marketing. And I've been working in some capacity of sales, marketing, and journalism ever since I graduated from college. Have four kids, one grandchild, and loving life right now, man.
That is awesome. That is great. So look, we got, number one, we got two, patriarchs here who building not only a big publication, but also a great family. And the one thing about it, as they build out Code M across the country and touch lives wherever they go, they have big families. So they're always going to have some workers that can be able to come in and help out at Absolutely. The publication. Okay. So, which is a great Absolutely. Thing. All right. But listen, guys, more importantly, we are so excited that you guys are here. Like I said, you guys are doing some tremendous things with your magazine. And so we want to talk a little bit about what you guys are doing. So are you guys ready to talk about it?
Let's go.
Let's go.
All right. Let's talk about it. So Bilal, let's start with you, my friend. Sure. Tell us a little bit in terms of, what your journey in terms of founding Code M magazine.
Well, actually, Code M magazine is a culmination of my life's work, building relationships. That's what everything is based on, relationships. Come to find out that, during my last part of my career as a firefighter, I counsel men and women in the public safety sector. And often the men and women look like us, brown and black men and women in police, fire, EMS, dispatchers, so it's the public safety sector. And I had so many men in my office that on the streets doing their job, we're considered heroes as firefighters. But in my role as director of EAP, which stands for the Employee Professional Association, and the three tenets of EAP are free, voluntary, and confidential. I had so many heroes in my office breaking down crying. As you and I know, the pressures of life is crushing men of color because you can't show emotions. On your job, if you show emotions, you're the angry black man. As a young kid growing up in the hood, you can't show weakness because then you become prey. A lot of black men aren't taught how to communicate or how to talk, mm-hmm. how to deal with our emotions. So therefore, we have shorter lifespans than women who have a built-in support system. So then I saw an opportunity to speak to men of color and to tell our story. And that's how Cold Him was born.
That is awesome, my friend. And look, being a fighter, putting your life in danger to help others, you know, that's a rare person that's willing to do that. And that's why we want to make sure that we salute, you know, our firefighters around the country, because Absolutely. Again, they're going to places, they're running to danger as people Correct. Are running out. Mm-hmm. And like you said, a lot of the values that you got out of it is part of what you're bringing to the Cold M magazine and being able to help others around the country. So Brad, tell us a little bit about what is the mission of Code M.
The mission of Code M is to save the black family. But before we can save the black family, we have to save the black man. So Code M was born out of a need to tell our own story, to control the narrative. You know, we like to showcase and highlight black men, people of color, brown men doing incredible things. And so we're a platform where, you know, you can come, you will be treated fairly. We will tell your story in a safe and secure way. We're solution oriented as a publication. And so, you know, our job is to make sure that we have divisive content, disruptive content. We tell the truth, but we do it in an intuitive way where people can, you know, we respect each other. You're not going to see pants sagging in a magazine. You're not going to see us disparage each other in a magazine. We're going to talk about important issues in the black and brown community, but we're going to do it from a perspective of being solution oriented.
Got it. And when you say transforming the lives of men, what do you mean by that?
So, you know, when you go into a school system where you talk to a young person, a lot of times when you say, what do you want to be when you grow up? They don't know that you can be a concrete engineer. They don't know that you can be a prompting AI engineer. And so we like to put people of different backgrounds. When I say backgrounds, I'm talking about socioeconomic backgrounds. I'm talking about career backgrounds. We want to make sure that we have diversity in what we put into the publication so then our children see diversity in what they can be when they grow up. And so we're transforming the lives of men because we talk about relationship. We talk about, you know, reentry coming out of jail. We talk about, you know, should you go to college versus trade school? We have a series coming up talking about the path to home ownership. And so even though my parents were educated, I didn't necessarily, and I love them to death, they gave me what they could give me, but you only know what you know. Mm-hmm. And so my generation, I'm trying to teach my kids, what does the path to home ownership look like? You know, what do you do with equity? Do you refinance? So we're attempting to transcend the black community and provide them with the tools that they need to make better decisions.
Got it. And then Bilal, in terms of, so just so we're all on the same page, Code M, what does the M stand for?
I get asked that so much. And it really is, it can be whatever you want it to be. Actually, we're creating a movement. So it can mean movement. It could mean men. It could mean millions from a financial standpoint for the magazine, as far as financially. But there is nothing concrete about the M. When the logo was created, when the name was birthed and the logo was created, we wanted it to be subjective, that it's open to whatever the interpretation of the reader is.
Got it. So they can be able to take exactly, right. You know, and basically interpret that code for themselves.
Correct. Absolutely.
So Talk to us a little bit, Brad. I'm going to back up to Brad for a second. Talk to us a little bit about, because you said something about transforming the lives and about making sure that people of color, kids of color, can be able to see themselves in all different type of endeavors. Tell us a little bit in terms of like what inspired you guys to take on this type of mission.
You know, the idea is Blau. He's the tip of the spear, you know, and as our leader, you know, it was his idea that he put on paper one day that birthed what we're doing. I came in a couple years after he started the magazine, and I came in the marketing capacity as a consultant, and we had such alignment and our visions were so consistent with each other. Our likability for each other, our teamwork, the way we work together, that I came on board as the president and co-owner of CODEM to then take his vision and take it to another level. I have the technical background. He had the idea, but being a firefighter, I was able to kind of come in and provide some technical assistance and some professional assistance to be able to take it where it is today. And I'm so humbled and honored by his trust in me to be able to do that, because I couldn't do this by myself. I don't think he could do it by himself. And, you know, together, you know, our superpower is our friendship and our passion for changing the lives of men.
Got it. Bilal, anything you want to add to that, my friend?
Yes, based on piggybacking on what Brad said, I drew a vision board. Once I had the idea, I drew a vision board, and it seemed like I was in a trance while I was drawing the vision board, because it became the roadmap to what we are currently doing today. The five key pillars of CODEM are emotional, financial, physical, psychological, and spiritual wellness components. So that's the holistic man and or woman. And one thing that I realized that the vision board did was give me, and first of all, it showed me that it was much bigger than me. If you hear me say I, it's a little I, because behind CODEM is a strong team. And once Brad and I connected, and I can honestly say his strengths were my weaknesses, and my strengths were his weaknesses. So together we formed an alliance and a trust, and I gladly gave the keys to my baby. I gave Brad my baby, and I said, protect my baby now. This is my baby. And he has surpassed any idea I thought that we were going to do. Because not only did we become business partners, as he said, we are diehard friends, we are brothers. I know that in the foxhole, when I'm looking this way, I know my flank is covered. I know he has my back. We don't always agree on everything, but it never gets personal. And the main thing is cold always wins. And we don't, you know, we are having a ball. And I mean, don't get me wrong, we have our challenges trying to grow this entity from actually nothing, from a vision, but along the way, it's establishing a brotherhood and a friendship that surpasses anything that we'll produce on the other side.
That is awesome, my friend. And look, at the end of the day, any great partnership, right, there needs to be a yin and a yang.
Absolutely, right? Yes.
Somebody fills in somebody's weaknesses and somebody mm-hmm. else's strengths and vice versa. So that's great to hear. Mm-hmm. So how are you guys taking that vision, those five pillars that you spoke about, your great work partnership together, and how are you implementing that in terms of the lives of the Black family?
So, you know, it's a loaded question. And we took the vision board, we brought it to life. And so, you know, we've done live activations. Obviously, you know, the magazine comes out once a month. We're traveling the country, talking to incredible people. You know, we've been very blessed that nobody says no when we ask if they want to be in the magazine or be on the cover. We're at the point now where, you know, we're attracting the kind of talent that we want and the kind of interviews that we want. And so we have people calling us saying, hey, you know, we want to be in the magazine. You know, we've had the pleasure of interviewing Ben Chavis, who's been on our cover, Bill Bellamy, Ben Crump. You know, and so just the diversity in who we're speaking with, you know, every May we have our women's issue, and we've had the fortune of having, you know, Sheila E. on our cover. You know, Yvette Nicole Brown has been on the cover of Code M. And so we're very blessed. We're very honored that the community is taking us serious. We're growing by leaps and bounds, and we're becoming the sounding board for the Black community and a trusted source of information for people who are looking to, you know, get stories, see information about Black people.
And Tony, let me add this as well. As a fledgling company, as a fledgling magazine, we are now being compared to a Black Enterprise, an Essence, and an Ebony for men. So, you know, to be put in those categories with magazines that's been in our communities for multi-generations.
Years.
Yes, yes. You know, that's a compliment to us. And it encourages us that we know we are on the right path.
That is awesome. And listen, at the end, and you got to, I was going to ask you about your competition, but I'm glad you got there. So one of the things that has been a struggle for years is positive stories about the African-American community, especially the African-American male. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all type of stereotypes that are written or are put in the media from a visual standpoint that doesn't help promote the African-American man in a positive standpoint, right? More importantly, it really causes a lot of division throughout all the other racial groups in terms of how they see the African-American male. So talk to us a little bit about some of the stories that you write, that you have in your publication, that promotes the strength and the positivity of the African-American male.
Well, you know, the magazine, it's very diverse in our content. And so we do profiles. We do talk about people who are doing excellent things across the country in their own communities. But, you know, we also want to be very honest about where we are as a people. And so we have articles that discuss, you know, our medical challenges in terms of, you know, the food we take in, how we live, stress, balance. And we work very hard to use the five pillars that Bilal described to create content and put it into the magazine. So we don't typically have, like some magazines may have themes. And we will have our cover and we'll have a couple articles kind of around our cover, but we try to be as diverse as possible in the magazine. We had a recent article talking about the fact that they don't think we feel pain, which kind of discussed how white doctors and white medical institutions sometimes tend to not prescribe medications because they think we don't have enough pain. Coming up in our April issue 2024, we're talking about infant mortality and how Black babies are dying and Black mothers are dying at an alarming rate, almost a double the rate of white births, based on the fact that they don't think our Black mothers are in pain. You know, post-delivery, she might have internal bleeding, but, you know, the care that she's getting is not the same if she's at a, you know, with a Black doctor. And so we're going to talk about that. Now, that's pretty serious content. It's very disruptive, but this is the conversation that we need to have in our community if we're going to advance and save the Black family.
And Tony,
no question. Bilal, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I'll add the fact that we don't owe anybody anything. We are a debt-free company. So we don't have to go to a sponsor or an advertiser who is bankrolling us and to say, can we talk about this? So we don't need permission. We don't need permission. We are having the conversations that are being had in the barbershops, beauty shops, cigar lounges, real talk about Black communities.
Right.
And that's the important thing, right? Grassroots, mm-hmm. Everyday talk, nothing's pie in the sky. That's why I love your magazine. And obviously, I'm a subscriber as well. So as being leaders of a Black organization, a media organization, talk to us a little bit of some of the challenges that you guys run into in terms of running Code M Magazine.
You know, the beauty of the company is that it allows Bilal and I to do what we were born to do. I do think we're living in our why. And so we'll never complain about any of the struggles that it takes to own a business, be a Black company in America. But the one thing that I'll say to you that's challenging is, of course, as we meet many executives and companies around the country, the constant theme is, oh, my God, we need this. oh my God, we need this. But when it comes to securing advertising, we have to work very hard to extract the resources from the community that we need to be able to grow, to stay afloat, and things like that. And so our challenge is convincing our potential advertisers of the God's work that we're doing. And so what we hope people start to realize is that if we're funded, we can be everything that we need to be. And so we're hoping that we continue to be blessed with the people who want to see us win and continue to publish. And we're hoping that more people see the important work that we're doing and join the fight by putting in an ad or contributing to our nonprofit that helps us stay open, grow, and continue to provide Black America with outstanding content that we can be proud of.
Yeah, so let's back up on that for a second, right? Because you make a very good point. So number one, when you go out and you promote the magazine to marketers, you're saying, they say, we need this. What do they mean by we need this?
Well, they mean that, you know, the magazine is purposeful, that they enjoy the content that is written by us. We tell our stories at a very high level. You know, we publish at an 11th grade level. I think the average newspaper in America is at an 8th grade level. Mm-hmm. So we want to raise the bar to what we expect. And so, you know, the first thing that you notice when you look at Code M Magazine, it's a work of art. Mm-hmm. It's aesthetically eye-pleasing. And then you go back and you read it. And so we hope that we're setting the bar very high for our community so they can be proud of us. And so that's what they mean when they say we need this, because I think that we're showing the best of us.
Got it. Bilal, anything you want to add to that, my friend?
Yeah, I want to go back to the question that you asked. We are walking in our why. When I first started out, I said, this goes back to every relationship, every business relationship I've had. I've called on favors from the last 30 or 40 years of dealing with people. And every one of them to the person has said, yes, I will help you. As the leader, CEO of Code M, I believe in the humble leader, a servant leader, because I understand that we are only as strong as our support system. Our staff is as far away as Reno, Atlanta, Columbus, Ohio, Washington, D.C., Charlotte, North Carolina. So collectively, we come together to create what you read every month. And even though I'm the leader, I am not above anyone else as far as the organization's concerned. Everyone's opinion, everyone's input counts. I don't care who has the idea. It's as long as we win. It's not about me. And I think Brad can attest to that, because I talk to everybody. My wife is like, talk to everybody, but you never know who you're talking to. You never know the wisdom you can get. And you never know when you come across someone who just needs a smile or a kind word, because you have no idea what people are going through in their lives.
Right. That's awesome. You know, and you guys know this, I've been in the advertising industry for, over 27 years. And when the George Floyd situation happened back almost 4 years now, one of the things that was supposed to come out of it was that a lot of marketers were going to pledge a certain percentage of their advertising dollars to, minority publications, minority media, African-American media, stuff of that nature. And, some advertising a holding company said they were going to, submit 5%, 10%, whatever. So in other words, publications like yourself would go to those, and then they would actually run their clients' brand ads in that publication because they had peeled off a certain amount. And there was a great gesture in that, but then, most companies never saw it. Okay, so that's why I was asking the question about why did they say, we need this, because at the end of the day, they want to be able to market to the African-American audience. They see that the African-American audience has the buying power for all their services and products and whatever the case may be. But when it came down to actually spending money in those publications or on the media, whatever the case may be, they actually didn't do it. And so that's why I wanted to see, are you guys seeing that? Because I think that spoke a little bit to what you were saying earlier, Brad, about, hey, they want to be in a magazine, but we, you know, they haven't, we haven't seen the dollars come like they said they were going to come through.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to continue to fight the good fight, and we're going to continue to attempt to attract the kind of advertisers that want to support the Black community by supporting us. And, you know, that's what it means. If you're advertising in CODEM, you're supporting your community. Because what we do is we take those dollars and we expand our reach to reach more people. You know, we have incredible stories to tell, and we have some amazing readers. And, you know, we're excited to be the two to create the connection between advertisers and our readership, because you're right. We do have a coveted audience of buyers who want to buy. You know, interestingly enough, we have an article coming up about the attack on DEI. DEI was also kind of not born out of the George Floyd murder situation, but it highlighted the need for DEI. But now it's under attack. And as you can tell, it's being reduced around the country. Companies are eliminating the DEI departments. So it's just as quick as they came, they're now leaving. And, you know, we're going to talk about that coming up in some of our next issues of CODEM. And the fact that we have to tell that story, it's unfortunate. And this is why Black media is so important, because we're going to tell it from our perspective, because we still haven't gotten equity in what we need to get. We're not looking for affirmative action handouts. We're looking for get out the way and just, you know, let me do my thing. I have the talent to perform. I just need you to get your foot off my neck so I can do what I have to do.
Honey, flat out, right? I totally agree. And Bilal, you know, I want to ask Bilal this question, but then I want to come back to the stories that you guys have been writing, because you guys, you and Bilal write a lot of the stories, right? And there's some really good stuff. And then you also have a managing editor, David Christel, who also writes stories. So I want to come back to that. But Bilal, can you, you know, because as being a firefighter, as having a vision, building your five pillars, speak a little bit in terms of, you know, the things that you've went through personally to be able to build this magazine to where it is now, and more importantly, that's going to help push it to the next level.
Well, one of the things I did was I believed in the vision so much that I sacrificed, or I invested in myself. I bet on me. I pulled a lot of money up down for my retirement, not at the behest of my wife. She was like, "You're going to do what?" But like the line from the movie Passenger 57, Wesley Snipes said, "Always bet on Black." You know, so I was so strong and had the conviction of when I saw the vision board that I knew it was an audience. I knew that we could do this. I just didn't know it was going to be this hard, to be honest. I don't know if I was naive, but my entrepreneurship and my love for my community, and especially for men of color, overrode my sensibilities to say this might not be a wise investment. So personally, I've sacrificed financially. I've sacrificed time. I've sacrificed time away from my family. I've sacrificed opportunities. But this is, we're in this for the long haul. Mind you, being compared to an Ebony, a Black Enterprise, and the Essence in really under 5 years speaks volume to what we're doing. So Brad and I are committed to stay the course, to weather the storm, and to come out on top and remain humble and have fun and lift each other up. And I go back to the fact that it's not about me. We have such a dynamic team. And you mentioned David Christel. David is a talented man. He is our white brother. You know, David used to work for Tony Robbins, Deepak Chopra, and was asked to become a speechwriter for President Clinton. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about talent like that, who wholeheartedly believes in the mission of CODEM, it's an honor and a privilege to work with someone like David.
Yeah, and look, I, you know, read a lot of you guys' articles. I read his articles. One, I think I even told you guys this a few months ago, the one that he wrote, I think it was in your February issue, What is True Freedom? I think that is something that every American should be reading, all right, because he really broke it down in terms of if you ask somebody today what freedom is, you'll get a totally different definition, all right? And so I really, really enjoy reading because you guys are, the stuff that you're writing is what you said earlier is about, it's what's happening, what people are talking about at the barbershop, at the grocery store, on their front porch. And a lot of those stories don't make it outside of those entities, okay? And then so it's important to be able to have these real stories of everyday people and what they deal with and what they think about. So one of the things I wanted to ask you, Brad, you wrote a story about the part-time husband. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Because I read it and I was like, uh-oh. All right. Well, you talked about the trends that are happening today. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, with the world of dating and dating apps, and of course with the pandemic, everybody went online to start dating because we couldn't get out. And so one of the, you know, side effects of going on a dating app is long distance dating. And so because you were able to look outside of your community for a match or a relationship, a lot of long distance dating started. Now, long distance dating existed before the pandemic, but I think it reached its height during the pandemic and since. And with dating apps, you know, I can live in New York and date somebody in Ohio. And a lot of times, depending on where people are with children committed to school districts, teenagers, job commitments, a lot of times people will choose to marry but not move in together. And so what was born out of that is the part-time husband, meaning that we're together on the weekends. Maybe I'm coming to you, you're coming to me. We're married, but we only see each other once a month, maybe twice a month, maybe every weekend. And so there are positives with that, but there are also negatives long-term with not being under the same roof. And so we wanted to write about that because that's happening in our community. I know a lot of people who are dating long distance who decided to get married. They're an hour apart. She kept her house. He kept his house. And so, you know, they're trying to make it work. But we just wanted to highlight some of the issues and pitfalls that potentially can come if you do that long-term. And so even though this is a problem that everyone has, these are the kinds of stories that we want to tell in the Black community because these are our problems too.
Yeah, buddy, I enjoy reading it. And, you know, and to your point, these are things that are happening all across. Bilal, tell us a little bit, Like what some of your, you know, you guys had multiple covers. You've had, you know, Dr. Benjamin Chaffetz as a cover, Ben Crump, Dusty Baker, Baron Davis. You guys had some really cool individuals on the cover of your magazine. For a magazine, like you said earlier, has only been around 4 or 5 years. And for these individuals to come and support you and be on the cover, right, says a lot. So what was your favorite story cover over the last 4 or 5 years, my friend?
Wow, that's a loaded question. if I say all of them, I'm lying. But I think
I was about to tell you first. Don't say all of them. No,
Dusty Baker was authentic, and as Brad was writing the story, he told Brad, "I don't give a damn what you write about me." Because he said, "If I don't like it, I just won't speak to you again." Fortunately, we are speaking. You know, Baron Davis was good because when he saw the public, when him and his guy Jason saw the publication, they were ecstatic. They love the publication. They want to support us. Dr. Benjamin Chaffetz was great because of all the things that he's seen in his lifetime. Not only was he our cover story, he agreed to come on and be a contributing writer, as well as Dr. Willie Jolly and his wife, Dee Jolly. They were on the cover last year, I think last March. And he's also come aboard to be a contributing writer. So when you're talking about individuals of this caliber, who have seen myriad of publications come and go, but love what we're putting out on a monthly basis. That's confidence for us. That's wind underneath our sails to keep us to continue soaring and going higher.
That is awesome, buddy. Did I ask you a question? Yo, you answered it very well, bro. You answered it very well. But, you know, one of the things, I think my mother taught me this when I was a kid, you know, first impression is a last impression. And also, birds of a feather flock together, okay? So you can't soar like an eagle if you're hanging around pigeons. Correct. So you guys got eagles coming in and out, which is awesome. So talk to us a little bit about the future of CODEM. Where are you guys going to take this? Brad, I'll throw it to you, then I'll come back to Bilal.
Well, you know, again, we've started activations in order to get out in front of our public. You know, we know that reading the magazine is one aspect of what we do. Also, you know, the live activations allows us to data mine, get in front of more people, start to have live interactions with our audience to find get real feedback in real time. We plan on taking our nonprofit and launching what we call the CODEM Ambassador Program. And the CODEM Ambassador Program is where we want to talk about the 10 codes of conduct that we want our Black men to adhere to. And so, you know, if you look at the Jewish community and other communities, they have a bond with each other, even though they may not know each other. And because we were brought here and kind of ripped of our culture, we need something that kind of binds us together again. And so we're going to have a card. You're going to be a card-carrying member of the CODEM Ambassador Program. And we want you to be an ambassador to your life. But we're going to introduce 10 codes of conduct, you know, that, to give you an example, have integrity, loyalty, don't cheat the process, you know, respect your woman, lead your family. These are the kind of tenets that we want to provide Black men with. And we're not going to assume or expect that you understand these. We're going to reintroduce these to our community. We're going to ask that you, if you're an ambassador above a certain age, that you find a mentee to mentor. And one by one, we're going to see if we can't return our Black man to the leadership role in the Black family where he deserves to be. But we're going to do it with support. We're going to do it with enthusiasm. And we're going to do it with love and commitment. And so that's what we're taking CODEM over the next 5 years is, like Bilal said, we're going to take that movement and we're going to, you know, bless ourselves and each other at the same time by introducing the CODEM Ambassador Program.
That is awesome. Bilal, anything you want to add, my friend?
And I would also say, you know, we're being blessed to forge some alliances with some individuals and companies that are going to revolutionize the market, the marketplace, Black-owned. Yep. And we're being asked to be a part of this. So I go back to the word humbling. You know, it's not about me. It's not about my ego. I know that I am probably some, I know I'm the back nine of the golf course, you know, my vision is for this to outlive me. As I share with Brad all the time, he's at the perfect age for this because he's young enough to still have the energy, but he's wise enough to know the right decisions to make. Brad and David won't let me retire, so I guess that's off the table.
Hey, you saw that article. Hey,
yeah,
Tony.
Yeah.
What was that article?
Part-time husband?
No. Never retire.
No, we had an article, Why You Should Never Retire.
Oh, yes. Sorry about that, buddy. Yes. Flat out. Well, Brad, you used to be in insurance, so you know the statistics in terms of that, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
But through it all.
So listen. Go ahead, Bilal. Go ahead. Finish,
buddy. I mean, Brad and I, we laugh a lot. There's been some things that's happened, and I'm going to say one in Columbus, Brad. Columbus, Ohio.
Tell us.
We had to do an activation for the state of Ohio. We were invited to participate in a conference for minority businesses. So we left Cleveland, we drove to Columbus, and it just was, things were not going right for me that day. So Brad got to see another part of my personality. I just got frustrated and walked away from the booth.
And Brad, you just left, huh?
Brad just laughed and laughed and laughed. But this is all part of the rich experience and the memories we are creating on this journey. Mm.
That is awesome, buddy. That is great. And, you know, one of the things, you know, I really am blessed here that you're sharing who you are, Bilal, mm-hmm. as being a humble leader. You know, one of the things I learned a long time ago is that leadership is about service. Mm-hmm. It's about being a servant to your fellow man, to the people who work for you, to whatever. And the organization is only as good as the person at the top. It'll mimic the person at the top. So having someone like you, in terms of your mindset, your attitude, the pillars that you came up, you can see why Code M Magazine is really taking it to the next level. And then having a partner like Brad, we're egoless, yin and yang, working together. You guys are on your way. You know, when we look at your audience, 55% of women read your magazine, all right, sure. Which is awesome. Because guess what? They want to understand more about the black man.
Absolutely.
They want to get under. So this is great. You guys are tapping into the right area. You know, as I said before, you know, nothing grows in a comfort zone, okay? And more importantly, you have to be in fertile ground. And you guys are in fertile ground. You're very well planted, and those branches are definitely sprouting, and you guys are touching a lot of great things, and there's going to be a lot of things that you guys can't even think about right now that's going to take you to the next level. The question I have for you, if there were two individuals who maybe it's a Susie and Diana, or a Jay and Joe, and they were in their young 20s, and they came up and said, hey, we want to start our own company. We want to, and you know, what advice would you give them?
Wow. The first thing I would give them would be create a vision board. That's one of the first things. Find your passion and be ready to sacrifice. There is a direct correlation between discipline and sacrifice to success. You know, so be prepared for the long haul. And I'm speaking experience because there are days that Brad and I talk. There are days that, you know, I cry on Brad's shoulder and he cries on mine, although he's taller than me. And when I say cry, some tears are literal and some are metaphorical. But it's hard. It's hard. But when you get to that day that is hard, to think back why you started this. You know, there have been times where I've been so downtrodden, but I'll get an email. I'll get a phone call. I'll get a text. Like I read, Brad, an email I received last week from a former state senator of Ohio. And her email was so encouraging that I forwarded to Brad and we called her and had a conversation. So along the way, enjoy the journey, enjoy the process. But also stay true to who you are, because a lot of people are going to whisper in your ear, you should do it this way, do it that way. But stay true to who you are and what your mission is, and align yourself with good people.
Yeah. Awesome. Brad, anything you want to add to that, my brother?
I would. And, you know, I would tell any young people who are attempting to do what we're doing is learn from your losses. You know, losses are not losses. They're opportunities. And every time, you know, we have an advertiser says no, a relationship says no, we learn from that opportunity. And a lot of times, you know, we thank people when they say no to us because, you know, there's many advisors to Code M. We don't do this on our own, and we consult. Before we make decisions, we consult our advisors. And some of them, you know, one of our advisors is a billionaire. I'm not going to mention name, but he's been very gracious to us. Not with his money, but his time. And I was in Orlando and had a chance to have lunch with him and sit down with him for a couple of hours. And I would tell you, it was a master class luncheon that I probably should have paid for in a lot more than what I, you know, I should have paid real money for the time that I spent with this person. Mm-hmm. But when I tell you, the information he gave me was so incredible that, you know, you want to align yourself with people who are doing incredible things. You also want to make sure that you enjoy the process. Blau has said it time and time again. You know, we laugh a lot. We're both kind of silly guys. We love to laugh. We love people. And so we're enjoying the process. And so, you know, we've been blessed that Code M pays our bills, but we have more work to do. We want to impact more people. We want to change some lives. You know, we want to add to staff. You know, we want to be difference makers for our community. And so getting up every day with purpose is amazing. So find your purpose, find your why. And if you got to go work, you know, a regular job until your why turns into real money, then do it. But do what you have to do. You know, we believe in you. We're cheering for you, and we're here when you need us.
And I'm going to throw out one more thing, Tony. I definitely agree with
Go ahead, buddy.
I said, find you some mentors. Find you some confidants. I have confidants who I talk to when I have questions. They may not be in the publishing industry, but they are success in their lives. Maybe not, you know, beyond financial success. They are prominent, and they are people of integrity who, when I get stuck or I want to ask a question to, that's who I call to get the unvarnished truth. And I'm going to show you, I drew something. I'm going to put it up to the screen because this is what success looks like. I don't know if you can see it. This is what success looks like.
Oh, yeah, I got it. I get it.
See?
Yeah, so it's, up and it's down, not a, backwards, it's forward.
Not a, right. It's not a linear line, you know? There's
correct.
There's two steps forward, four back. Five forward, two back. But you have to get up every day. There's an old African proverb that says, every day a gazelle wakes up and knows he has to outrun the lion to stay alive. And every day the lion wakes up and knows he has to outrun a gazelle to eat for that day. So the theme of the proverb is, every day you got to get up running.
I love it. This is awesome. And great advice, guys. Thank you for sharing that. So my final question is, why did you guys want to come on a Black Executive Perspective podcast to share these stories and talk about this topic?
Well, for me, Tony, you represent, you know, what you do so well, you know, and in alignment with what we do, you represent Black America. You're telling stories that resonate with our people. And we need people like you hosting these kinds of podcasts to provide some guidance, avoid a pitfall, move around a mountain. It's critically important that you do your podcast on a weekly basis to make sure that we're getting the information we need to make our journey smoother, easier, and we're more aware. So I thank you personally for what you're doing. And, you know, again, we're humbled by the opportunity to work with you, partner with Black Executive, and we're excited about our partnership coming up and moving forward.
And I concur with what he said.
Go ahead, Bilal.
The fact that you have a platform, an outstanding platform, to allow Black executive professionals to tell their truth, because other Black executive professionals need to hear they're not the only one going through these situations. And the fact that we are aligning our platforms to support each other. You know, it's an honor for us to be a part of this. It's an honor of us to support you all. And we look forward to the outcomes of us working together.
That is awesome, buddy. And again, you know, we're excited. And you heard it from, you know, our brothers over from Code M Magazine, a Black Executive Perspective podcast, as well as Code M Magazine are going to be partnering together, collaborating together from a audio, visual, written content, the whole nine yards. And so we're very excited for this collaboration and partnership, because our mission is your mission. Your mission is our mission. We want to share. We want to elevate these stories. We want to help change lives. We want to promote our brothers and sisters. And when we say brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean that they're all Black people. We're Absolutely. Jewish brothers and sisters. Everyone to come on our platforms and share so we can make a difference in the world and bring people together. So I'm so excited. All right. Bilal, you can put that picture back up again. I had a little heart attack at first because I didn't know what. But I kind of, once you started telling me what it was, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. All right,
yeah,
good.
I thought it was a self-portrait.
Exactly. I was like, no, I don't know. No, you know, this is a family rated show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so yeah.
We just wanted to make sure. But all that
I was like, he can't draw. Tony, he don't know how to draw.
But that, no,
that's,
all
that's
good.
That's a version of my straight line.
It's all good stuff, but no, we're excited about our partnership. But so, final thoughts you want to leave the audience? So we'll start with Bilal first.
Well, I just want to say that this is your life. You have, there is no right or wrong to do what you want to do. Be true to yourself. Be, first of all, have faith. Be true to yourself and be good to your fellow man or woman. Because in the end, when it all said and done, those, that's what you're going to take with you. You know, at the end, at somebody's funeral or somebody's deathbed, they never say, I wish I had spent one more day at the office. It's most people regret not spending time with their loved ones, with their family, or doing things that they wanted to do in life. And it's never too late. You know, I started a magazine at, what, 60 years old. So, you know, everybody asked me, man, are you out of your mind? You've never done it before? No, I haven't. And it's one or two outcomes. Either it's going to work or it's not going to work. But I would never, it would never have happened if I listened to other people or if I questioned myself. I just dove head in. I'm thankful that I had a father who believed in me. And he said, just be like Nike. Just do it. And that's what we did. Mm.
Love it. Brad, final thoughts.
Yes. So, you know, my final thought is you never wait to make money. You never wait to make money. You know, the life expectancy of the average black person is 70 to 73 years old. And so midlife is around 35 for us. You must get up and attack your goals today. I encourage everybody to, you know, start that side hustle, create that website. It's never been easier for you to live the dreams that you want to live. And I'm going to tell you, we're not doing this for the money.
No.
We are not doing this for the money. If it was for the money, we would have quit a long time ago. We're doing this because we're on a mission to change the lives of black people, my children, my grandchildren, my grandchildren's children, my neighbor. We are doing this for people who need the kind of support that we need to provide. And we're doing this to leave a legacy that the black community, we are gods and queens. We are kings and queens. We are special. We do have something to offer. You are important. And so, you know, we encourage everybody to live your truth, find out your why, and the very next day start living in your why. And so that's what I would want to leave people.
Awesome, buddy. Bilal Akram.
Yes.
Brad Bowling, CEO, founder, and president of Code M Magazine. We want to thank you for appearing on the Black Executive Perspective Podcast, my brothers.
Appreciate you, sir.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Great message. Great message. And you're going to hear a lot more from Bilal and Brad as we move forward, as we cement our partnership together. So I think it's now time for
Tony's Tidbit.
So the tidbit today is celebrating the black family means recognizing the depths of their contributions, the warmth of their love, and the impact of their legacy. Their stories are not just to be told, but to be honored and amplified. And as you heard today from our partners over at Code M Magazine, this is their mission. This is what they're doing. So we want to thank them for appearing on the Black Executive Perspective Podcast, Bilal Akram and Brad Bowling. And more importantly, we want to thank you for watching another episode of a Black Executive Perspective Podcast. You can listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook at A Black Exec. For my fabulous guests from Code M Magazine, Bilal Akram and Brad Bowling. For our producer who does all the magic in the background, Double A. I'm Tony Tidbit. We talked about it. We love you and we're out.
A Black Executive Perspective.